talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Used to dream about buying that bigger house, sitting on top of some hill. Losing sleep about filling my bank account, wondering if I ever will. But the older I get, I just care less and less about keeping up with people named Jones. If you don't fill it up with somebody that you love, it ain't ever gonna feel like home. There's always gonna be a higher high you could chase for the rest of your life. Greener grass in the yard next door, or a shined up Chevy little newer than yours. You're never gonna fill an empty cup if what you got's still not enough. The thing about happiness I've found is it don't live in bigger houses. I can hear the kids making little footsteps running.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was by Dan and Shay, Bigger Houses. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also published Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with Neil and Tegan Heesch with Malibu Shower Enclosures. Also, Charlie Ledford with Ledford's Termite and Pest Control, talking about the termite swarmers. They are out, and we're going to give you some great information about that. And then finally, we'll be talking with electrical contractor Jason Rose with Exceptional Electrical Contractors. But joining us now is our show producer, Ashley Rowell. How are you doing, Ashley?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. So in previous shows, we've mentioned that we multitask quite a bit. And so one of your jobs is the producer of this radio show. And then you also are responsible for our weekly newsletter. And talk about what the newsletter is and what people can find when they sign up for it.
Yes. Okay. So every week we send out a newsletter that is full of local projects, product sales, and design inspiration, and it goes right into your email inbox. Where you can sign up is at our website, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, or you can head over to our latest issue on page 50 and scan the QR code to sign up. We love to pack it full of great information so you can get inspired for your home, and we love to have great product sales. Some examples are Flooring Factory's doing free carpet removals until the month of June. And right now, J&K Home Furnishings is having a Memorial Day sale with 30 to 75% off store-wide. That's a great sale. And then to finish this off, one thing I really think is great is that Fix-It 24/7 is offering a $39 AC deep cleaning. And they'll come to your home and spend about 2 hours there and make sure that you're ready for summer with your AC unit.
Okay, well, that's great. And every week those specials change. Mm-hmm. And there's always, these days, everybody's looking for a good deal, trying to save, stretch their dollar, save a little money. So it really pays off, especially for homeowners that are always looking to make improvements around the house. We get some of these weekly specials directly from the advertisers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And sometimes they'll have just like a, you know, 1,000 square feet of tile or something like that they're deeply discounting. So there's always some great discounts, some great deals when you sign up for our newsletter. And how do you do that again, Ashley?
You can head over to charlestonhomeanddesign.com to sign up, or you can head over to page 50 in our latest issue and scan the QR code.
All right, great. Well, hope everyone will take advantage of that and enjoy today's radio show. Have a great weekend. And now we're talking with the father-son duo Neil and Tegan Heesch with Malibu Shower Enclosures. How are you folks doing?
Doing great.
Good, good. Take a moment and tell everyone about Malibu Shower Enclosures.
Yeah, so Malibu Shower Enclosures, you know, we specialize in frameless shower doors and frame shower doors with grids and black framing. You know, we've been around for 18 years. I've been in business for 34 years, 17 years even before that. I don't know anyone who's done more than us. You know, we've done about 17,000 frameless shower doors in the Charlotte area. We've done a couple thousand in the Charleston area. We even do some in California. So we specialize in frameless shower doors. Father-son team, we do it old school. When we come out and see you and you hire us to do a shower door for you, we don't take a deposit. We don't want money when we're done. If it's installed perfectly to your liking, we send you a bill.
Great. So, okay. And when you say frameless shower doors, you do more than just provide the door. You're providing the glass shower enclosure too as well, right?
Exactly. So once you have your tile, marble and granite in place for your shower, we come out, we bring samples with us, we show you options. Every single one of them is a custom shower. We measure for the glass to fit the walls, and we bring samples. If you like it, we place the order. We have a computer program. It's linked to our fabricator. It literally goes to the cutting table in the warehouse almost instantaneously. So it's as quick as quick can be. We'll come out and put a shower door in a week or so later, and if you like it, we'll send you a bill.
All right. Is the glass, you know, if people have kids and or if maybe, you know, somebody were to lose their balance is the glass dangerous at all if it gets broken?
It's highly unlikely that it's going to get broken. It does happen, obviously, like lightning striking, you know, it does happen. But we've done so many, we know the properties of glass. There are rules to this, and we overbuild it because we warranty it forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did a warranty call the other day to replace the plastic for someone. I did their shower for them 14 and a half years ago at no charge. So we basically, you're building this to stay with it forever. Not sure about anyone else, but I know what we do here. And
the glass is pretty thick. How thick is the glass typically?
Yeah. So the majority of the glass that is installed is 3/8 inch thick, 10 millimeter. Or 1/2 inch thick, depending on the customer request. It's all safety glass.
Meaning it's tempered so that if it does break, it's not going to be shards of glass. It's kind of like your windshield, right?
Yes, it's kind of like a side window of your car. It's tempered safety glass, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, we'll get a request for some other glass that doesn't need to legally be required to be tempered, but Malibu has a policy, safety.
Gotcha.
All the glass that goes out of our shop is safety glass.
And you mentioned frameless shower enclosures. What's the difference? I think at home we have a semi-frameless shower enclosure, glass shower enclosure. What's the difference between frameless and semi-frameless?
Yeah, so the language has changed over the years. So back in the old days, framed units and semi-frameless would mean the entry-level shower glass, and then frameless means, you know, no frame on it. However, some of the frameless glass, which really tells us that it's thicker, 3/8 glass, will sometimes have a head across the top or so forth. So that's where the discussion with the homeowner is so important. We'll do FaceTime. We go out and see every one of them. We really want to make sure the customer knows what they're getting. And that's where there's no uncertainty. You put a shower door in. If you like it, you pay for it. Mm-hmm. They're never in question. And the price is exactly what we quoted. So if we quote you $1,000 for the shower, that's what you write the check for. Mm-hmm. Real simple.
What's the I've heard of some pretty big shower enclosures that people have installed. What's the biggest one that Malibu Shower Enclosures has installed?
Big, and I remember them. Probably 74 by 126, and that's a big shower. And then that's just one piece of glass. So we've put in a wall of glass about 13 feet wide, 12 feet tall. So obviously that's 4 or 5 pieces of glass. Mm. So yeah. You know, what you see at the mall, believe it or not, people have showers that big.
Oh, okay. You mean the storefronts? Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Interesting. And a lot of people are looking to remove that garden tub from their bathroom, and they want a nice walk-in shower enclosure. If someone hasn't gotten to the point of tearing out the old tub and done the remodeling to put in a shower enclosure, what do you tell the homeowner at that point?
Oh man, I love this because, you know, we're building a story for their shower glass. So in other words, if somebody calls us, we get referrals from tile people, lots of places, and they'll say, well, I haven't done anything yet. And, you know, I'll say, send me a picture of what you got, and we build a story. Okay, looks to me like you're removing a tub. Let me send you some options. We will come see you, you know, as soon as it's tiled. And sometimes before, like we've gone out 2 and 3 times to help people do the right thing, you know. We'd like to be called way in the beginning. Then by the time the tile's done, they kind of have an idea of their options, the pricing set in place. It moves pretty smooth at that point. So when they call us early, that's great. Mm. But picture chain back and forth, texting's probably the best. We can do emails also, and we love phone calls.
Gotcha. And let me ask your son Tegan a question now. Tegan, talk about what it's like when you are installing the glass shower enclosure, and how long does it take, and what kind of reaction do you usually get from the homeowner?
So the amount of time that it takes is really dependent on the actual size of the shower that we're currently doing. Now, if we're doing, you know, a good majority of the showers will take somewhere between 2 to 3 hours to install. And then normally we put the glass in and make sure everything's clean. We always have a clean workspace whenever we're done. And a lot of the times the homeowners are very excited to see. It does make a really big impact on the overall look of your bathroom whenever you have no glass, as opposed to finally finishing that stage. Normally we're the last stage in the process of a bathroom remodel. Normally they have all the cabinets and stuff in. So once we put that, you know, the glass shower door up, it's kind of like the cherry on top of the sundae. Mm. And they see the whole bathroom come together. They get really excited.
Yeah. Has it ever been a challenge getting that big piece of glass into the house and sometimes up the stairs and so on?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. So that big panel that my father was talking about before, that was actually on the second floor, and it took about five or six of us heaving it up the stairs, because we don't really have like a way to carry it up other than manpower to really get it up around all the space, the tight spaces, and going up the stairs with the weight. So it took us, a good 45 minutes just to bring a piece of glass in and get it up the stairs.
I know that sometimes stone installers will have to hire a crane because the slab is so heavy. Has Malibu shower enclosures ever had to bring in a crane for a big piece of glass?
We have not had to bring a crane in yet. We have had to get some windows removed out of people's homes so that way they could fit inside of the living room to get them up the stairs and, some other stuff like that, but not a crane yet.
Gotcha. Well, that's impressive that you'll go to those extra lengths to make the homeowner happy. So the you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, black, the framing is black. Is there any other color options like stainless or anything?
Oh yeah. So we have every color that's available, we get. We have multiple suppliers for our hardware, and we also have multiple suppliers for our glass. Obviously, the Charlotte location has been around so long and so well established that a lot of times glass and hardware that I can't get in the Charleston area, I'll bring into Charlotte, plus Los Angeles as well. So we have that going very well now. The supply chain's good. And if somebody wants a custom color, it's not uncommon for us to take some metal to a powder coater and we'll paint any color they want.
Interesting.
We've got it with barn door sliders. So, right now that metal framing with the grids is a popular need, and we supply that. We do them in-house, so a lot of calculations go into that framing. You'll be able to find it on our website and Instagram, and they're all done custom. So we sit down with someone, we discuss every detail, every profile of metal, and just really meet the needs of the customer.
Right. What about cleaning? Because that's a big wall of glass. Is it difficult
Great question.
to clean that glass, to keep it clean when Malibu Shower Enclosures installs a shower enclosure for someone?
Great question, Tim. Yes, actually, we put on a protective coating that Malibu guarantees. So, if they would like to have it applied, really, we recommend it. Sometimes we'll sweeten the deal. As a matter of fact, if they find us on the radio or through your channels, we'll include the protective coating for free. How about that?
Yeah, and that's a cost too. That's a real value that you're giving away.
Very much a value. Absolutely. We believe in it so much. When this product first came around, I was skeptical, and then I'd get a call, hey, I don't know if this is working or not, and I would go out and I would actually clean somebody's shower for them, and I'm like, oh my God, this stuff works so well that now I really believe in it because it works. I've gone back and cleaned many people's showers for them. A lot gets lost in translation. We're going over tolerances and design and whatever. When it comes to the cleaning part, we send cleaning instructions, but we love the phone call. Hey, I'm not sure, Neil, come on out. We come out like a knight in shining armor. I clean their shower for them and they love it. And then next thing you know, they're referring more people to us because we serviced it.
And when it comes to cleaning, typically you just use a squeegee, which doesn't take a lot of time.
Yeah, so a lot of people have a handheld in their shower these days. If you just take a normal shower and you get a lot of soap everywhere, if you just take your handheld and rinse it and then squeegee it if you want to, and then the towel that you dry off with, just wipe the glass down and the water spots are gone. And the cool thing is, let's just see you, you know, have a nice Airbnb and you want a frameless shower door installed. If you put this protective coating on and the people that are there don't clean the glass properly, and you come in and you clean it 6 months later, you'll be able to clean it and make it look brand new. Mm. So the cleaning now is easy. It's a hydrophobic protectant that goes on the glass. It literally coats the glass, the porousness of the glass, just like sealing up tile and grout now. We have sealers put on the glass. We guarantee it. The Malibu product, and, you know, I highly recommend it.
And is Malibu Shower Enclosures, are you folks a national company of and this being a franchise for you?
You know, we've considered franchising it, but, you know, we're so intense on making sure that we service what we have that expanding, you know, we would do it on our time. Very reluctant to kind of let that go. We have a lot of control over it. You know, if you look at us, we've handled every situation, every problem we've had, we've solved. So, yeah, if we could expand, that would not be a problem. So we currently do some shower glass in Los Angeles, where I live, and Charleston, where my son lives, and Charlotte. So we have those three locations already. But we've done so much work that we'll get a call and say, hey, can you come to Myrtle Beach? And if it's a good customer, we follow our good customers wherever they go.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, good deal. Well, we're about out of time, but is there anything that we didn't cover today that you mention before we wrap up?
Yeah, so if you're a good tile guy, a good contractor, and you send work our way, we have a rebate program. And if you give me a call, I'll come and meet with you. I'll meet you at your office or a job site, and I'll discuss how we can have some value add to your business. And, you know, we take any and all calls. If you've got just a repair, give us a call. If I can't help you, I'll treat you like family and help you go the right direction to solve all your needs.
All right, great. Well, we've been talking with Neil and Tegan Heesch with Malibu Shower Enclosures. And, oh, I forgot to ask you, what's the best way to reach you folks?
You know, really the best way to reach us is call. You can email also. So call 843-990-8475. If you want to send an email, send it to malibushowersc@gmail.com. That's malibushowersc@gmail.com. Call, text, email. We'll come running.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with father-son team Neil and Tegan Heesch with Malibu Shower Enclosures. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks so much, man.
And talking to us now is Charlie Ledford with Ledford's Termite and Pest Control. How you doing, Charlie?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Charlie, take a moment and tell everyone about Ledford's Termite and Pest Control.
All right. Well, Ledford's was started by my grandfather in 75, and my dad took it over from my granddad, and now I'm here. And we do termite, obviously, and pest control. We do a little bit of rat monitoring. We don't get into exclusion work. We don't do rodent, you know, stuff. We stick to termite and pest control.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Good deal. Well, this is the time of year that that Ledford's Termite and Pest Control, you folks start getting lots and lots of phone calls because this is what is commonly known as swarming season for termites. What is swarming season?
So swarming season is, speaking specifically to termites, so that's when the termite colonies have gotten, you know, so large where they divide the colony and the queen says, hey, listen, you guys need to go start another colony. So those termites swarm. It's usually around this time of the year. We're not quite there yet. We're probably another, you know, maybe 2 weeks out from it. But the termite swarm to go try to start another colony somewhere. So, you know, in their natural environments out in the Francis Marion Forest or something, they would swarm and, you know, go back into the ground and find moisture because they have to have moisture to survive. That's why they're a subterranean insect. But they find moisture and find an old tree stump or a tree, and they, you know, infest that tree. And obviously they're what they eat is wood, so they got plenty to eat in a forest. But basically they're swarming to start a new colony. And you know, obviously where neighborhoods are, they'll still swarm because they're everywhere in the Charleston area. So they swarm, and they're typically attracted to light. So if you have your porch lights on, or if you're hanging out in the living room and you got your living room lights on, and they see light, you know, emitting out of your windows to your house, they'll come out the ground or out of a tree, and they'll swarm to the light source, which will be your house. And typically there's really nothing much to worry about. You know, it's kind of more of a nuisance than anything. But however, if you have a moisture source, such as a window leak or a roof leak or anything, they can use that moisture as an area to set up a colony, and they can start doing damage. The swarmers don't actually eat the wood. They're just there to reproduce and start a colony. And then, you know, once the colony forms, then those termites are the ones that actually, you know, will do structural damage to the house.
Where are some of the hot spots around town where people will notice the termites swarming?
Well, they're kind of widespread everywhere, but some of the, like you said, the hot spots, Isle of Palms is a real heavy area, in particular on Isle of Palms, you know, the Wild Dunes area, anything on Waterway Boulevard, those are really, really hot spots. Ashley Harbor, West Ashley, if you're talking over this direction, West Ashley area, you got Ashley Harbor. That's a pretty thick spot in the around 61 area. If you go up towards Somerville, it's just kind of widespread, but, you know, Iron Gate, King's Grant, they got a pretty good issue with them up there. Those are some of the hot spots, mostly around the, you know, Isle of Palms, Sullivan's Island. Some of those areas are probably the most, in Hampton Park downtown.
I was just about to say, you didn't mention the big one, which
that's right, Hampton Park. Yeah.
It's been referred to as Ground Zero for most in termites.
Is. Ground Zero. That's where the whole thing kicked off.
Yeah. So. When I moved here in 1990, I was lucky enough to buy a house on Ashley Avenue right near Hampton Park, and I remember my first swarming season. And the house was built in 1920, so you know it's not exactly tightly built. And so I'd start seeing these termites that would make their way from the outside into the interior of the home around windows and in the bathroom and so forth. And, you know, I panicked and went to Clemson Extension to have them identify the termites and everything. But just because you notice some of those swarmers doesn't mean you actually have a termite infestation in your home, right?
That's correct. Yeah, most of the time we get calls that, you know, I see 10 swarmers on my windowsill or on my front porch, or I got 15 or 20. But now when you start seeing swarmers in large numbers, and by large numbers I mean like by the hundreds or even by the thousands, that's indicative that you have a problem. So when they swarm, they just kind of, it's like a broad, they just kind of swarm in a wide pattern. And so you might get a few, neighbor might get a few, some might go to the street light or whatever. So you're going to get a portion of the swarm. But when you have an infestation in your house, you'll get the full swarm. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you'll see them in larger numbers. So typically, like I said, if you most of the time we get calls, it's usually just more of a precautionary thing. We'll go take a look and make sure nothing's going on. But if you start seeing them in large numbers, and that's a pretty good indicator you got an issue going on.
Well, can you define that a little bit more when you say you see them in large numbers? Like, what are some of the telltale signs that you may have a termite infestation?
Yeah, so typically somebody says, hey, I got termites swarming out of my kitchen or whatever, and they're covering the countertops, they're all over the place. All right, so we'll go look and we'll get out there. And usually the homeowner will say, hey, listen, they swarmed out of this window. And in particular, there's this little spot right here on the wall or in the window trim. There's like a little hole, and that's where they swarmed out of. And so termites, they build shelter tubes as they, go through a structure and do damage. So the purpose of that tube is to insulate them from the outside air temperature. And so as they eat through a wall, they'll come through, say, sheetrock, for example, has, paper on both sides, and they'll eat through that sheetrock. And when they come through that sheetrock, they'll call it a swarm castle. So you'll see, material built off of the wall. It's hard to describe exactly what it looks like, but it's almost like a dirt dauber look, kind of. So it's this material will be built off the wall, and they'll knock a hole out that little castle, and they'll swarm out of it. So typically, that's something that you'll see around windows and doorways. Termites. If you imagine a house with no sheetrock, most of your wood framing, you don't have, king studs and jack studs and headers and all kind of stuff around your openings in the house, such as windows and doors. And so that's where they're going to, termites are going to be where the most wood in the house is, which is where that's going to be. So so that's typically where we see swarmers, where they swarm out, around the framing in those areas. You won't see them so much in the middle of a house, where you got studs every 16 inches because, that one stud is not going to keep them happy very long. So they'll typically, you see them sometimes in wood floors. That's another area we see a good bit of them. But yeah, that's the primary spot, is around the window and doors, where to look for those signs of termites coming out the wall.
What does Ledford's Termite and Pest Control recommend? Do you recommend that a homeowner waits until they have a problem, or what can Ledford's Termite and Pest Control do to help a homeowner prevent ever having termites to begin with?
So I recommend, I guess I'm a little biased on this because we see it every day, but I recommend doing preventative treatments. And honestly, I would say 80% of what we do is preventative treatments. The problem with waiting until you have a problem and reacting to it is you got to treat the house at that point anyway. So either way, you got to treat the house. It's better to just pay for the treatment instead of the treatment and the repairs. So we come in and treat to prevent a termite infestation from occurring. And if they do have a termite infestation, if there's no issues preventing us from offering a warranty, which there usually isn't, but we offer a warranty. So should you get termites, we pay to fix, whatever they damage. So a preventative measure is definitely the better way to go, because it's not a matter of if you get termites, it's when you get them, if you don't have anything there to protect the house from the infestation.
Yeah, and we have a lot of newcomers to the Charleston area who may not have ever had any experience with termites wherever they come from, whether it be the Northeast or Midwest or out west or the West Coast. And so it's kind of an education process. So how does Ledford's Termite and Pest Control, how do you folks treat for to prevent termites to begin with?
So we first we come out and take a look and obviously work up an estimate, offer a proposal for what we could do to treat it. So what we do a liquid treatment. We use a product called Termidor HE, which is manufactured by BASF. So we do a liquid termite treatment. We're regulated through Clemson Department of Pesticide Regulation, referred to earlier. You talked to them about you got Swarmers at your house. It's a great resource for homeowners, but we're regulated by them, and so we do state standard termite treatments. We do the liquid version. We don't use the bait stations. I'm just, you know, not I'm just not real trusting of them. I don't think they work quite as well as a liquid treatment. So we.
What's a bait station?
A bait station is a little, you know, a lot of people refer to them, the green things around my house. So those little green things, that's called Centricon.
In the ground?
And basically what it is, yes, sir, it's a piece of wood in a station. They typically go every 10 feet around the outside of a house. And the idea is, you know, to catch the termites in that station as opposed to eating the biggest bait station, which is your house.
Mm.
So the bait station is a great idea, and honestly, I wish they worked. The liquid treatments are a lot more work, a lot more labor, a lot more training. It's a lot more difficult to do the liquid treatments, but they're 100% effective. They work.
And
bait stations are a lot easier to install, a lot less training involved. But they're just, in my opinion, and what I see, they're just not nearly as effective.
Does Ledford's Termite and Pest Control, when you're doing the preventative termite treatment, do you treat inside the house or on the outside of the house?
So on a crawl space, we're treating underneath the house in the crawl space. On a slab house, we're treating underneath the slab foundation. And like an elevated beach house, we're once again treating underneath the slab foundation around the foundation pier. So only time we ever come into a house to treat is, of course, if you had an active infestation in the house or on a slab house. If you have any, like, a tub shower inserts where the plumbing drains go through the slab, sometimes we have to come in and treat around where that plumbing drain goes through the concrete slab.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great entry point for termites to come through, and that's part of a state standard termite treatment is to treat around those plumbing drains. So on a slab house, built on the ground, we have your first living floor as a living area, you know, like a one-story slab house, we'll treat around those plumbing drains inside.
Mm-hmm. And what if after Ledford's Termite and Pest Control comes out and puts that liquid treatment down, let's say the homeowner has does a bunch of work on the landscaping and they start digging up the ground near the foundation. Does that affect the whether the termite preventative treatment is still effective?
It does. So if you physically move the soil in the area that we treated, so the area that we treat, for example, like around the outside of a house, is literally a 2-inch deep by 2-inch wide area right against the exterior foundation of the house that we treat. So if you have something and you're digging it right against the house and the roots, you know, pull up and it disturbs the soil, you know, right against the foundation, then it's necessary for us to retreat that area. Now, if you're digging up a tree that's 5 or 6 feet away or a bush that's 3 or 4 feet away, then it's not really necessary for us to treat those areas. But like I said, if it disturbs the soil right against the foundation, then yeah, because you're moving the treated soil, so then it is important that we come back and retreat that area.
Does Ledford's Termite and Pest Control come out every year to retreat the soil, or how often is that required to retreat the soil?
So we do an initial treatment. We're not allowed through Clemson Pest Regulatory. We're not allowed to retreat for 5 years. From the initial treatment date. So after 5 years, everybody approaches this differently, but speaking for our company, we retreat usually in between 7 to 8 years, no more than 10. The chemical lasts for 14 to 15 years, but we treat usually 6 or 7. We'll do a full retreat of the house. And so that retreatment is covered in your annual renewal that you would pay. So you do initial treatment, and then we come out every year and reinspect for 5 years. After that 5 years, year 6 or 7, we'll say, hey, we need to retreat the house because, you know, we just want to make sure we got a fresh barrier down.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we'll do a retreat. It takes maybe half a day. And there's no additional charge for that as part of your annual renewal fee. Annual renewal fees usually run between $350 to $450 average. They can certainly be more or less than that, but that's typically the average cost there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we do it. It's about every 7 years or so you're going to have a full retreat.
What are the Ledford's termite and pest control technicians looking for when they're coming out to do that annual inspection?
So we're coming out, we're obviously looking for active termites. And so how we do that is on a crawl space, we go under the house and do an inspection of the crawl space for termite tubes coming up the foundation. In a garage, we're all looking around in the garage, looking at those areas around the windows and doorways. If there's any windows or doors in the garage, looking for holes coming out the sheetrock.
Mm.
In addition to that, we're also looking for conducive conditions that may, make you more at risk for a termite infestation, such as if you had a wax ring on a toilet go bad and you got the subfloors wet, or if you have, any standing water under the house. If you have, obvious signs you might see, like firewood or wood stored under the house, things of that sort. But it's obviously looking for the active termites, but it's also looking for conducive conditions that give you a higher risk of having a problem.
So you don't want to put any firewood near your house, because that's like having a bait station near your house, and then you don't want any water leaks or anything, because termites need a water source to survive, right?
That's correct. They have to have moisture. If they don't have moisture, then can't have a termite problem. It's like
mm-hmm.
trying to drive a car down the road without tires on it.
What do you say to a homeowner who says, I don't need a termite contract. I've got homeowner's insurance.
Right. So homeowner's insurance, I've never run across a case in our 50 years, or coming up on 50 years of business, that I've never seen homeowner's insurance cover termite damage. If you don't have a specific warranty for termite damage, you're going to most likely, any experience I've ever had, you're going to be on your own on getting those repairs made.
Mm.
So if you have a treatment and a termite warranty, the treatment obviously is to stop that situation from ever coming up, but should it arise, there's a warranty in place to cover any losses or damages caused by those termites.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever encountered an aerial infestation?
Yes, sir. So we see that, more and more. It wasn't as common, but we see it more and more. Obviously, there's been a lot of development in the Charleston area, so that's obviously the reason for some of it. But the main thing I tell people to help prevent aerial infestations, because there's nothing that we can do to stop aerial termite infestations, since they're flying in and finding a construction defect, which leads to the termite infestation. So the best thing I tell people to help, and what I do on my house, is to help prevent aerial infestation, because I'm just as susceptible to getting it here at our office or my house, is to make sure your windows and doorways and everything's caulked and sealed, make sure there's no moisture intrusion. So, for example, if you have like a stucco house, make sure there's no cracks in the stucco. If you obviously everybody has windows in their house, so I'll recommend having a contractor come out every year, especially around now, this time of year, when, swarmer season is right around the corner. I would recommend have a contractor come out right before the spring of the year and check all your windows. Say, hey, listen, I just want you to take a look and make sure my roof's, everything's watertight, make sure I don't have any moisture intrusion, make sure my windows are caulked and sealed up good. If you eliminate the moisture intrusion, then you're eliminating the possibility of an aerial termite infestation as well.
Yeah, so they might you might have some fascia boards that are
right,
that the gutters are attached to on your house, and Gutters are famous for allowing water to kind of get between the gutter and that fascia board, and that fascia board starts to rot, and that's where the termites might create a nest for themselves. And then they don't, since they have a moisture source right there, they don't need the mud tubes, which is what the Ledford's termite and pest control technicians are looking for, typically to coming from the soil. It's up in the air on 30 feet in your house or something like that.
Right, that's correct. That's a great example of how that can happen. And they're like I said, typically aerial infestations. We find them around fireplaces where the flashings gone bad. If your chimney caps rusted out, obviously that's going to allow water down through the chimney. We also, the number one spot we see aerial infestations around windows. Anywhere where you have a hole cut in the house, is you got to have flashing there and caulking and things to prevent from water from getting in. Those are all things that have a lifespan. They go bad, and you just have to make sure that you stay on top of it.
So mm-hmm.
You just have to be a little bit more diligent about those things in this region because of the termite issues we have here.
Well, we're almost out of time, but what's the worst termite infestation case you've seen in your experience?
Probably the worst one I've seen was actually on Isle of Palms. The house sat vacant for 4 years, and Clemson Pest Regulatory actually went out and looked at that and did a story on it. But it was a house I went out to, and literally the cabinets were laying on the floor, the doorways, the doors had fallen on the floor. I mean, the house was literally falling in on itself. And it was, partially from ground-based infestations and from aerial infestations, had a combination of both. So it was a pretty severe case. They just, like I said, they just started over and reframed the house, the foundation, and built a new house on top of it.
Wow, that can get very, very expensive. So you want to prevent that for sure. Well, how can folks get more information about Ledford's termite and pest control?
So you can look us up online at ledfordspestcontrol.com. You can also send us an email and request us to come out to your house at charleston@ledfordspestcontrol.com. Or, the best way to get in touch with us is just give us a call. Our phone number is 843-766-8298. We have a bunch of girls here in the office that can answer your call and talk to you and answer any questions and get one of us out there, myself or my dad still is out working, and we got a bunch of very well-trained, best in the business, in my opinion, technicians that can come out and take a look at it for you.
All right, great. And you can always find Ledford's Termite and Pest Control within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with Charlie Ledford with Ledford's Termite and Pest Control. Thanks so much, Charlie.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Tim.
And now we're talking with electrician Jason Rose with Exceptional Electrical Contractors. How you doing, Jason?
Good morning, Tim. It's a pleasure.
Jason, take a moment and tell everyone about your electrical contracting company, Exceptional Electrical Contractors.
Yes, Tim. We're a small organization out in the Somerville area. We do residential and commercial electrical services. Everything from home standby generators to your simple, switching out devices and fixtures and that sort of thing.
Gotcha. All right. Sounds good. And Jason, I understand that you are a United States Air Force veteran. Thank you so much for your service.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you as well, Tim.
How does that help you, your experience in the Air Force, how does that help you as an electrician today?
It's given me the foundation for my business model. Do excellence first in everything that you do, because if you don't have that and integrity, there's really not much point going beyond that. It's taught me to deal with challenging situations, to be an effective communicator, and just you know, to the resiliency that, you know, if a project goes astray, how to, you know, deal with that and bring it back on course. And like you said, be able to communicate with our clients to fulfill their desire with what it is they're trying to do with their residents and their project.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, what types of projects does Exceptional Electrical Contracting work on?
We do a lot of, like I said, residential and small commercial jobs. We've done everything from home standby generators to complete house builds. We recently just finished a 5,400 square foot project over in the Jedburgh area that was a full custom built house that we pre-wired for a home standby generator. They had an advanced electrical lighting system in it, and several other key elements that really required a great deal of attention to detail to get it done right the first time.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so wiring an entire new construction home, that's definitely something that's part of your sweet spot as far as what Exceptional Electrical Contractors, the work that you folks can do. Is there, what about smaller jobs?
Yes, Tim, we do everything from under cabinet lighting to just changing out, you know, your standard chandeliers and stuff. We are fully capable. We carry scaffolding. We have very tall, capable ladders that allow us to go approximately 24 foot in the air to take care of those large foyer and entryway chandeliers that you might have a need for in a home. Full network of suppliers that if there's something that maybe you have an idea about, but you're not sure if it's easily available or in today's, you know, post-COVID supply chain issues, whether or not you can actually get access to it. We have a network that we utilize and we can track down those hard to find items for you as well.
Good deal. Do you have a specific price list for like things like changing out ceiling fans, or you mentioned a chandelier or any of those kinds of things, or should people just give Exceptional Electrical Contractors a call and let you bid it out?
We can do specific, you know, pricing for, you know, small jobs, but a lot of times it's just easier if the client reaches out to us. There's certain factors that a lot of times homeowners don't consider, like, again, you know, the height of their ceiling. You know, when we're working at great height for the safety of everybody, we'd like to have two technicians just to be able to safely hoist up, you know, those heavier fixtures or work at those higher elevations. And that, the pricing on that, obviously, when you send two guys versus one is different. And also, you know, homeowners may not be necessarily aware of what's involved in getting the wiring, you know, to their new area that they would like to have a fixture. You know, it's very simple if you're just simply replacing a ceiling fan with a ceiling fan, because all the existing wiring is already there. But if you're trying to perhaps put a fixture where there's not any sort of electrical connection present, then obviously there's going to be adding switches and running wiring and that sort of stuff. And it's just easier for us to come out and give you a fair and accurate estimate, because the last thing we want to do is show up and then tell you that, you know, what we quoted you was incorrect and the price is actually going to be substantially higher. Yeah. So we'd rather avoid that situation up front and just come out and see what your scope of work is and give you a fair and accurate estimate right up front.
Can you think of any what some of the more challenging projects that Exceptional Electrical Contractors has been involved with? For instance, you work on an older home that has like the knob and tube wiring and things like that. What are some of those challenging projects?
Yes, Tim, we often find that, you know, some of the work that we do requires to be permitted, and we are fully licensed and insured and can pull those permits with the local authorities having jurisdiction, whether it's your local town or if you're in the county. We can take care of that for you and getting that stuff permitted. We can also, you know, as you do that, some things that we've run into, older homes built in the 60s, some of them have aluminum wiring, which is actually a very significant fire hazard. And we've had to, unfortunately, tell people that called us in to do a small electrical job that, you know, unfortunately, their entire house was really unsafe and needed to be rewired with copper wire instead of the aluminum to make it just a safer for the entire family and residents. So
those were kind of like fires waiting to happen then, huh?
Yes, sir. They are. They really are. And so we've had to deal with those. Knob and tube wiring, again, is, like you said, is very unsafe. We want to go ahead and get rid of that. We've done those. We've done some older homes. Those are a lot of fun because, you know, you get to see the history in the home. But as you, a lot of times as you're doing the work, you discover something that you weren't necessarily expecting to find behind the walls. And it makes it a challenge, but, you know, we have that adaptability and, you know, the experience that from where we come from that, you know, we can deal with those situations and turn something that maybe if you were trying to do it as a DIY project that might really derail your project or really send your budget spiraling out of control, to keep, you know, to know how to deal with that and to know how to do it fast and effectively and not have your whole budget blown to bits. Yeah. So,
and if you've ever had a squirrel who's decided to make your home their home, or maybe another kind of rodent, they love to chew on that electrical wiring, don't they?
Oh yes, they do. They can make a huge mess out of your electrical wiring in your attic or in your crawl space. Yeah. And again, that's just a fire hazard waiting to happen once they get that conductor exposed where the electricity can come in contact with a flammable material. That's all it takes.
Right. Well, I'm going to give our listeners a chance to grab a pen and a paper and write down your number, because having been a homeowner for many, many years, the one thing I've learned is you've got to have a really good go-to plumber, and you've got to have a really good go-to electrician, because over the years you're going to be in touch with them. You're going to call them. And so, you know, we have a lot of newcomers to the Charleston area. Why not make Jason Rose, U.S. Air Force veteran with exceptional electrical contractors, your go-to electrician? Go ahead and give your contact information, Jason.
Yes, Tim. My cell phone to reach us at is 843-813-5393. You can call or text that number, or you could email me at jasonr@eec-sc.com.
All right. And you can always find exceptional electrical contractors on our website, charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with electrical contractor Jason Rose with Exceptional Electrical Contractors. Thanks so much, Jason.
Thank you, Tim, and you have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show, or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.